WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. As President-elect Trump and his transition team work to fill key positions, Republicans say they expect to maintain control of the House. Just over a dozen races still undecided. ABC's Jay O'Brien has the latest.
We haven't called it yet at ABC News because some of these races are still too close to call, but they appear poised to hold on to a slim majority in the House of Representatives. They're within striking distance. They would need to pick up just two more races in order to actually get the 218 they need by last count.
A U.S. civil jury has awarded $42 million to three former detainees from Iraq's Abu Ghraib prison, finding CACI, a Virginia-based military contractor, is partially responsible for the prisoners' torture and mistreatment some two decades ago. Civilian interrogators worked alongside the U.S. Army. Fire crews hoping to make progress against wildfires burning on both the east and west coasts. Winds gusting in New York and New Jersey where fires have spread due to drought conditions.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
For 97.9 WGBW News, filling in for Lisa Hale, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. State Superintendent Jill Underley is asking lawmakers for more than $4 billion in state funding to help meet the needs of local schools, their students, and their education. Here's Derek Tritz.
Wisconsin's public schools have experienced a decade of increasing financial constraints due to underfunding from the state. The proposal advocates for raising revenue limits for schools based on inflation. Nearly half of Wisconsin's school districts have gone to referendum this year, many of them just to stay afloat. Meanwhile, Wisconsin currently has a $4.6 billion budget surplus. Underley says this would help students, staff, and schools without forcing taxes to skyrocket.
My budget proposal allows school funding to catch up to where it needs to be. The first step is simply increase these limits, and then we provide enough state funding to limit property taxes from rising too much.
Some other highlights of the proposal include increasing the reimbursement rate for special education costs, increasing per pupil aid and general aid, and funding the out-of-school time grant program. These are also complemented by property tax limit increases. The DPI's overall budget request is slated to be released in full later this month.
Once it's released and ready for consideration, the budget proposal will be taken up by a more balanced legislature now that Republicans won't have a supermajority. And the Menominee Park Zoo has a new resident. He's a one-year-old black bear, and his name is Mr. Reeves. Doesn't sound like a one-year-old. Sounds real grown up. He was considered a nuisance bear in Alaska, meaning he wasn't afraid of people and would beg them for food. But staff say he's settling in really well. Right now, he weighs about 100 pounds, but he might grow up to weigh up to 500 pounds. The Menominee Park Zoo is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW News.
The Badgers have another night game. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska filling in for Mike Clements for Civic Media Sports. This Saturday, the Wisconsin Badgers will host the undefeated Oregon Ducks at Camp Randall Stadium. Coach Luke Fickell says the bye week helped them in preparing for the big game.
We know that, but that's where we've got to make sure that we got to go back to what it is that we do and continue to climb this mountain to get better.
Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. Saturday. The Badgers are 5-4 and need a win over their final three games in order to become bowl eligible. Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy and rookie standout Jackson Churio are up for some hardware. Murphy was named as one of three finalists for the National League Manager of the Year. The other finalists are San Diego's Mike Schilt and New York's Carlos Mendoza. Churio is up for Rookie of the Year along with Paul Skeens of Pittsburgh and Jackson Merrill of San Diego. The awards will be announced next week. Tonight, the 2-8 Bucks take on the 2-9 Toronto Raptors, who own the NBA's worst record. The losing team tonight will have the NBA's worst record. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. at Fiserv Forum. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly sunny and pleasant today, with winds still a bit breezy, but this time out of the southeast and gusting around 20 miles per hour. This will push our high temperatures today to the mid-40s and falling to near freezing tonight. All ahead of rain rolling in by tomorrow evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Keep the elements out of your home with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We had howling wind coming through. The rooms were freezing. We were very apprehensive about changing them because we were worried about losing the charm of the home. We went with Pella because we knew that they had an amazing reputation. We knew that they were going to have the windows that would look like they'd been there forever, but with all the functionality that a window should have.
Order from Pella today and get no interest and no payments for 12 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 11/30/2024.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we talk film noir with Civic Media's own Earl Ingram. Then I'm joined by the Wisconsin Historical Society's Kurt Griesmer, who talks Dungeons & Dragons.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zummers, our fantastic producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome to hour number 2 of the big program. It is Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Many thanks for Luke Mathers for stopping by. He's a busy dude, but appreciate him stopping by.
Absolutely. Sorry, the microphone was not next to me.
Well, you're a busy man. You're doing lots of things, as it turns out. Glad to have you along. This hour, we're going to talk a little bit about elk, not moose this time, but elk on the run as they're in rut season.
Elk on the run. Elk on the run.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But some breaking news over the wires that comes fast and furious here. We bring you the latest headlines, this time from the Associated Press. President-elect Donald Trump will nominate former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabuckabee. This is Mike Huckabee. As ambassador to Israel, Trump has announced this afternoon. Huckabee is a staunch defender of Israel. And his intended nomination comes as Trump has promised to align U.S. foreign policy more closely with Israel's interests as it wages wars against Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon. Quote, Mike has been a great public servant, governor, and leader of faith for many years, Trump said. He loves Israel and the people of Israel, and likewise the people of Israel love him. Mike will work tirelessly to bring about peace in the Middle East, unquote. Huckabee has led paid tour groups to Israel for years, frequently advertising the trips on conservative-leaning news outlets. It's like, you know, usually like your local weather person will say, Holiday Travels invites you to join Gary Kenalty on a trip through the Mediterranean. This is what Huckabee does, only he takes people to the Holy Land, and he makes a few shekels on it, and then he comes home. So Huckabee has led these trips for a long time. David Friedman, who served as Trump's ambassador to Israel the first time, said he was, quote, thrilled by Trump's selection of Huckabee. Thrilled. Look, Mike Huckabee was a governor. Can't take that away from him. But I think one of the takeaways here is that this kind of pick has less to do with paying back anybody politically in terms of the Jewish community, than it really is for evangelicals. Again, people messed around on Tuesday and now are at the finding out part. As we talked with Luke, there is not one segment of the voting public that you, in my opinion, that you can say, well, that segment is responsible or this. It's a combination. But one of the things that I just still have a hard time wrapping my mind around is the fact that a lot of folks, I shouldn't say a lot, there were folks on the left, the progressive left, the pro-Palestinian, the Gaza was a huge issue for them. And we have talked on this show before, I condemn all violence like that. And the thousands of lives have been lost in both Gaza and Israel is atrocious. But people had, in some communities, in Madison, thank God it wasn't really all that violent, although there was vandalism downtown Madison that was in favor of the pro-Palestinian folks. But in places like out in California, extraordinary violence, vandalism, all for the pro-Palestinian movement. And you have people in Dearborn, Michigan, big Muslim community there, Arab community, who said they were going to either vote present or not vote at all due to Joe Biden and by extension, Kamala Harris's position on Israel and Palestine. And Harris made it clear this election that she would get the hostages home, who supported that, to end the conflict there, to end the war. But she wouldn't go far enough. Because what this segment of folks want is complete detachment from Israel. Don't do any business there. Our public university shouldn't have anything to do with it. Completely ice Israel out, putting all the blame on Israel, even though they were the ones that got attacked on October 7th. And the line of thinking somehow was, we have to send a message to the Biden-Harris administration for our cause. And part, keyword part, not all, not putting the blame on any one or any one group, but part of the reason that Donald Trump is now getting a second term is because of the people who did not vote for Kamala Harris due to her stance on Palestine. And now, rather than having someone in the White House who agrees with the majority of what you want done and who vowed to work with you, now you have Donald Trump in office who just nominated Mike Huckabee to be the ambassador to Israel. And remember, during the campaign, Donald Trump said of Bibi Netanyahu, a leader that I stand with the people of Israel, but not with Netanyahu. Netanyahu has said, quote, Trump has said of Netanyahu, quote, let him do whatever the hell he wants, unquote. I just don't understand how staying home and not voting or voting against Kamala Harris because of your stance on Palestine has gotten you anywhere as the result. In fact, it has become detrimental to your cause and stopped it in its tracks. That's the part that I just don't get. But anyway, as we said, we roll on with these appointments.
We sure do.
And again, I'm just kind of like in this wait and see mode, right? Let's see how this plays out. I mean, I would relish the opportunity to come on this show in a couple, 3 years and say, you know what? I was completely wrong. I had it all wrong. It didn't pan out the way that I thought it would. And I was wrong. I will be the first person to joyfully say that I was wrong.
I will be thrilled if we're wrong about this.
Yeah.
Because that means a lot of people won't die.
Yes.
Or have their rights taken away.
I don't think that will be the case, but if it is, I'll be person enough to stand here and say I'm sorry and that I was wrong. But now we're kind of in this position. And again, we talked about this briefly before. There's going to be some big, whatever you're calling it, resistance march or some kind of big march on the 18th of January, right before Joe Biden leaves office, right before the military goes under the command of Donald Trump. And there's going to be a lot of hooting and hollering and signs made and speeches given on the atrocities of Donald Trump getting elected. And my question is, where were those people on November 5th? But, no buts about it. A lot of people took a powder on November 5th. So I have no support for this so-called resistance march in Washington on the 18th. It's tilting at windmills. The time to do something was on November 5th. So I hope there are hard lessons here learned, and I hope we have the opportunity moving forward to correct them. That is my hope. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Ross, listening out in Crawford County, listening via WMDX, says, "Hi, Todd. Mike Huckabee has been named ambassador to Israel." Yes. Associated Press, all reports are that that is it. Matt, listening on WMDX in Middleton, says, quote, "I feel we have a cry wolf problem. Identity politics made it so we on the left cried racist for too long. The social justice movement came in and gave an impression, right or wrong, that white people were the cause of racism, that a true racist came to power and too many people didn't care. The wolf is here now," unquote. Appreciate the take on that. So there you go. That is what we got. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Dick, listening to Madison and WMDX. Dick, thanks for listening. What say you?
Pretty much what you just read in it. Here's why. It's funny. Remember that thing that where they asked 120 questions, was it, or 24, with no D or no R in front of it, just on policy? Mm-hmm. And you know where I'm going with this. It was basically the Democrats / Harris's policies, and 62% or 63% of people agreed with it when they didn't know where it came from. And then the other thing is, you look at these battleground states, supposedly, Arizona, Nevada, both went to the Democratic in the Senate.
Right.
We still don't know Pennsylvania, correct?
I think I'm not sure if it's technically officially been called for the Republican, but it's all signs appear that's what will happen.
Oh, okay. But anyway, they were supposed to just take a bath in all the Senate seats, or you would think, won the top of the ticket, won handily in those states. And yet Arizona, Lake loses, and same thing in Nevada. Mm. They lose there. It just doesn't – it's slash a lot of people just plain didn't show up, and I'm sorry. There's a lot more racism than misogyny in this country than I ever wanted to believe there was.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that at all. I think that's another lesson takeaway here. Again, do I think it's only because of racism, only because of misogyny? No, I don't. But is it a part of it? Is it a part of this complex, nuanced postmortem here? Yeah, absolutely it is. I think it's a unfortunate commentary right now that there is a percentage of Americans, not all, but there's a percentage of Americans that simply don't want to vote for someone because they're female. And or because they're a black female. And I'm no Earl Ingram Jr. I'm no historian on black females, but I know enough to know that black women have been some of the on the receiving end of some of the worst parts of American history, and B, have done some of the most incredible things in American history. And if you look at the one group, the one segment that did show up at the polls and did vote for Kamala Harris, black women. Once again, getting it done. Back with more after this, including a little look at what's happening on the four-legged cycle around the state of Wisconsin. We'll be back. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, yeah. But I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Let me tell you that. And you know, it's not so much the heat as the gosh darn humidity. And then, you know that, you know, when you sit there in the bed and you're just sweaty, you know, and you go to reach for the water on the nightstand and you slide right out of bed and the wife says, "Stop making so much noise, you're waking me up, go to sleep." Well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Times like that make me think about moving up north, you know.
Good idea.
Yeah, I'd do it too. Of course, then I couldn't watch the Packers, you know. The Packers are... Of course, I like the Packers. I'd do anything for the Packers. Who can forget Vince Lombardi, you know? Back in the glory years? Not me, boy.
This is a fantastic open. Go. We're going to keep playing it. Here we go.
That time of year. I'm a deer hunter, how do you do? I got this deer hunting rapping tale for you. I'm so excited, it's my favorite time of year. I love to feast my buns, chasing trophy deer. But don't clap your hands to the stomping of the feet, cause yeah, he's like me. He can't keep a steady beat, no.
Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 22 past the hour, 1 o'clock. A little turny point buck.
Yeah, you know, I believe there was somewhere in the song, I'll have to look at the lyrics, where they confused it for an elk or something.
Oh, really? Maybe, I started laughing because it's been so long since I heard that song.
It always lives rent-free in my head. Yeah. I remember hearing it as a little kid, being up north with my family,
yeah,
and everybody just laughing.
Well, back in the day when I worked at WRCO Richland Center, we would play that song, you know, quite a bit during this time of year, leading up to gun deer season here in a couple of weeks. And then back in the day, I haven't gone deer hunting via gun in a number of years, but when I did, we would all meet at the farm and we'd usually play that song either the night before or the morning before we went out just to get a couple of yucks. That's a great song. The Youpers, right?
No, that's a common misconception. The Youpers have second week at deer camp.
Oh, that's
right.
It's
the second week at deer camp and all the guys are here.
Right.
No, this is by Bananas at Large.
Really? That would have been a good trivia question.
Would have been too late now.
Well, maybe we'll do it another time. This is a great story. And I want to milk this for all it's worth. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, headline, bull elk sighted in southern Wisconsin during the annual breeding season. Now, among Wisconsin wildlife sightings, this one is relatively new. Because when I was gun deer hunting, there were no elk out in the woods. They just weren't, not in our part of the state. But given the status of species, it's likely to become an annual event. At least two, not one, but two bull elk have moved south this fall from their home range in Jackson County. The bulls are looking for female elk or cows during the species breeding season. The bull's travels have been captured on trail cams in Iowa and Grand counties, but right just south of the Wisconsin River, back in the southwest Wisconsin there, among other spots outside their normal range, according to the Department of Natural Resources, Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Now, the Central Elk Zoo biologist for the DNR says that one of the bulls is bigger and a more mature animal and has been hanging out near Wyalusing State Park. Because, I mean, who hasn't just, you know, gotten a Dollarita and hung out by Wyalusing State Park to pick somebody up?
You gotta. It's the place where you go.
It's near Bagley in Grant County. And the other, a smaller, the other elk is a smaller, they call them a raghorn. A raghorn has spent most of its time recently in Iowa County with the latest report near Mineral Point. So apparently, if you're an elk, it's easier to pick up chicks if you're not really, you know, that buff in Iowa County. If you're buff, you want to go to Grant County.
You got to know your audience.
Now, according to the Journal Sentinel, the bulls have distinctively different antlers. So it's clear at least two elk are moving around southern Wisconsin. Several of the documented sightings have been provided to the DNR by the public through the DNR's online wildlife observation form. The form takes input on locations, species, photos, and comments. Trail cam images of the bulls have also been posted on social media sites. And let me tell you, I'm looking at one of these images right now. I'm not making this up. This elk is buff. I mean, muscular, beautiful, great big rack. I mean, this is one studly bull elk here. The biologist at the State Department of Natural Resources referred to the bulls as quote-unquote transients. He says, quote, it's fall. They're looking for a mate and more than one. So apparently these bull elk are polyamorous. Greg Bach this morning said it could be thruple elk.
It could be.
It could be a thruple elk. the cows now in the central herd have quite a few bigger, more dominant bulls around. So these smaller bulls are exploring outside their normal range. This is very progressive. They're exploring a little bit, going outside their normal range.
Well, they don't really have a choice, or otherwise they'll get beat up.
Right. The DNR says they also received verbal reports of an elk with a white ear tag southeast of Madison in Dane County. However, the DNR uses orange ear tags, and the origin of that animal is unknown. It's possible that it escaped from an elk farm because this time of year they get very excited, and sometimes they can't be contained. White-tailed deer, Wisconsin's most common member of the deer family, pair up during the mating season. But elk, a larger member of the deer family, have a different mating behavior. The bulls compete for dominance, and the winners form groups of cows. You know what you call it, a group of cows in the elk world?
A harem?
Yes! Yes! You're 100%. I'm not making that up.
Well, I was just guessing because, you know, it makes sense in yes. context.
And these harems can number dozens. I find this all extraordinarily interesting and entertaining all at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have a harem of a female elk running around, and you got these two bulls fighting each other to see who's going to get into a polyamorous relationship with these cow elk. Things are happening in the woods, folks.
They sure are.
These are the things you go to bed at night, and you have no idea what's happening just beyond the tree line out in the woods.
Or if you're Todd and I, it keeps you up at night.
No, it keeps the bull elk up at night, if you know what I mean.
That's more accurate.
Tom, listening on WMDX, says, any current wild pig sightings? Feral pigs? Not that I know of, but doesn't mean they're not there. Back with more after this on the All Ball Show of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dirty point buck. Yeah, I'm going to get that 30-point buck. The last thing I do, I'm going to get that 30-point buck.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 97.9 WGBW News, filling in for Lisa Hale, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Ashwaubenon leaders are laying out what to expect for the NFL draft, and long story short, they expect the area around Lambeau to be a mess. Those are my words, not theirs. They held a meeting last night where lots of people from the Lambeau neighborhood came to hear what's in store. They expect 250,000 people to attend. Now, for reference, Lambeau holds about 81,000, so it'll be swamped compared to your average home game. Officials will be setting up for weeks in advance and tearing down for weeks afterward. They also reminded people planning to rent out their homes that they need proper licensing. The NFL draft is April 24th through 26th. If you spend your days in downtown Green Bay, you should know we'll have a bridge closure tomorrow. There will be maintenance done on the Don Tillman Bridge. That's on Mason Street over the Fox River. So you can expect some backed up traffic in the area as people take other routes and avoid the bridge altogether. It's expected to be closed from 6 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. And it's been nearly 50 years since the Edmund Fitzgerald capsized in Lake Superior. Who knew it would end up having pop culture relevance? A bomb cyclone was responsible, according to Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
That was the type of storm that hit the Northland on November 10th in 1975. It's the historic storm that sank the SS Edmund Fitzgerald in 25-foot waves created by 50-knot hurricane-force winds. Now, 49 years after the tragedy, a few people are trying to get a Wisconsin historical marker to commemorate the Fitz leaving from Superior, her last port of call. A plaque like this costs $8,000 and will be put up on Barker's Island, not far from the Superior entry the Fitzgerald left on that fateful day.
The story goes, artist Gordon Lightfoot was here in Wisconsin when it happened, and the epic ballad was born. 2025 will be the year of the Fitz in Superior. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the three new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us three shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny and pleasant today, with winds still a bit breezy, but this time out of the southeast and gusting around 20 miles per hour. This will push our high temperatures today to the mid-40s and falling to near freezing tonight, all ahead of rain rolling in by tomorrow evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Overtime with Maggie Dawn, we will preview the Trump administration cabinet picks, plus the takeaways from the 2024 election with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show. Zomers on fire with the music today. That is what the elk are playing in southwest Wisconsin, but I don't know what they wouldn't do.
I don't either. But I don't think there is anything.
I mean, clearly they're even willing to run down to Illinois to get themselves hit by cars. I mean, they're just out of control. We're talking about the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that there are elk in search of love from northern Wisconsin running down to southwest Wisconsin to dominate these harems of cows. Not the milking kind, but that's what you call a female elk. And according to this article, that the dominant bull will mate with as many cows as possible. He has no morals, you understand? He's literally horny, the rack on his head. And this leaves less dominant bulls, typically younger, smaller, or past their prime, looking for cows outside the core territory. Elk, of course, native to Wisconsin, but were wiped out by unregulated hunting and habitat loss in the early 1800s. Following approval of by the legislature and Governor Tommy Thompson, elk were brought, and by the way, Governor Thompson, I mean, you know he's all over this. He'd be all for this. Speaking of roaming bulls, elk were brought back to the state, Badger State, beginning in 1995, with 25 animals transferred from Michigan and released in the Shawangunk Nicolet National Forest near Clam Lake. The reintroduction started as an experiment overseen. Here's a little fact. It was all overseen by UW Stevens Point professors and students and deemed a huge success to bolster.
They know what they're doing for.
They know what they're doing up there.
Environmental conservation at Stevens Point.
They know how to make baby elk. To bolster numbers as well as a genetic diversity, additional elk were transferred from Kentucky. Well, this might be part of the problem. Into Wisconsin between 2015 and 20. So here you had Midwest elk meeting Midwest elk. You had Michigan elk coming over to meet Wisconsin elk. And now to diversify the herd, we have brought up people from the Appalachian Mountains in Kentucky.
That could be what happened.
I hope they brought some bourbon with them. Significantly, this period also included the establishment of the state's second elk herd, called the Central Elk Herd, in Jackson County. And apparently this now is where these rogue elk are coming down south to find their mates in southern Wisconsin. So in all seriousness, I do find this intriguing. I find conservation intriguing. I think it's very interesting. But seriously, remember, these elk are huge compared to white-tailed deer. You hit a white-tailed deer and, you know, it's like, you know, depending on how fast and everything, it could do some significant damage. You hit one of these elk, it could be deadly. So just another reminder, as you're out, particularly in rural roads in Wisconsin, be on the lookout for rogue elk in southwest Wisconsin. People often see me on the street and they say, Todd, who are you? They say, Todd, give me some good news. And I say, we can do that. So here's some good news for you today, Wisconsin related. From the CBS affiliate in Green Bay, Wisconsin, WFRV, one of the world's leading sauerkraut producers, is moving its headquarters to Wisconsin with plans to expand operations and add 60 high-paying jobs. Fermented Food Holdings, Inc. will invest $13 million in its Bear Creek production facility and relocate its corporate headquarters to Madison. I've been to Bear Creek. With support from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, better known as WEDIC, which has awarded the company $500,000 in performance-based tax credits. Known for popular brands like Silver Floss Sauerkraut and Bubby's Pickles. Ever had one of those?
Can't say I have.
Yeah. Fermented Food Holdings will enhance its Bear Creek facility by adding a new fermentation room, cooler, and production line, increasing its annual capacity to 20 million pounds of cabbage. It's a lot of sauerkraut. The expansion, which included 41 new roles in Bear Creek and 19 at the new headquarters, aims to bolster ties with Wisconsin's agricultural sector. Governor Tony Evers welcomed the move, noting Wisconsin's reputation for quality food production and deep ties to the fermentation tradition. Quote, when people see the Made in Wisconsin label, they know they're getting a quality product made by some of the best workers in the world, unquote. Wisconsin, I did not know this, the fourth largest producer of cabbage in the United States.
Well, then it would just make sense to come here to make sauerkraut.
Exactly. An ideal location for the sauerkraut giant, allowing the company to source directly from local farmers and foster a more personal connection with growers, a priority of CEO Jorge Acevedo. Fermented Food Holdings considered Miami, Denver, and Austin for its headquarters, but chose Madison for its proximity to Wisconsin farms and a vibrant food industry. Acevedo emphasized the importance of staying close to Wisconsin's tight-knit farming community. Quote, we love that we can be close to the small, very tight-knit farming community that has been with us for decades. The expansion brings an economic boost to Bear Creek, a town of about 400 residents, while paying homage to the facility's 100-year-old roots as the Flanagan Brothers Pickling Company. The Wisconsin's strong demand for fermented products and the state's long-standing bratwurst and beer traditions, the future of Fermented Food Holdings looks promising. Well, there you go. And I know in, I think it's in Sauk County, some of our listeners can correct me, last I knew it was still going on, it's called Fermentation Fest. Ever been to that?
I have not.
It's fantastic. It's time flies so fast. It's at least 10 years old, if not more. And it's a festival. It's either in Reedsburg or Baraboo of all things fermented.
Looks like Reedsburg.
There you go. Reedsburg, Wisconsin, Southwest Wisconsin, and Sauk County. Fermentation Fest. Dial them up on the internet. It's a great festival. When you think, well, it's just, oh, beer. Well, no, beer, wine, sauerkraut.
Other spirits.
There are other foods that are fermented that we just don't think about. You're like, oh, wow, that takes a fermentation process.
You can also take classes on how to do it yourself.
Yes.
Make your own pickles, maybe?
Yep. No, they're great. And it's part of the Worm Farm Institute.
Yep, that's the one.
If you've never heard of that, again, just a great – we should do – that just reminds me. It's been on my list for a long time. We should do a whole show from Worm Farm Institute. It is one of the great success stories in all seriousness in Wisconsin. And it was from Southwest Wisconsin, and it's focused on local producers, agriculture, bringing food to food deserts in Wisconsin, meaning small towns that don't have access to fresh fruits and produce, that sort of thing, and bringing fresh vegetables in small carts, and it's grown from there. They have the Art de Tour, which is a big local outdoor and indoor art festival that just happened this fall. Every fall Art de Tour. You have the Fermentation Fest, all part of the Worm Farm Institute in Sauk County.
I've never heard of this place, but it seems really cool. Yeah, oh, wormfarminstitute.org is the website.
I think it's a cool name. It has little to do with worms other than that they're essential. Worms, of course, essential to the ag industry in Wisconsin. But if you've never been there, if you've never dialed it up, do so. It's just, and this is a great example of things I want to do more of in the year to come on this show. Talk about Wisconsin success stories. There are so many out there. And that's been one of the great opportunities and blessings in my life working in politics. For all of the frustrations, and you get that with any job, right? And you get a lot of frustrations in the partisan politics when you work in government and politics. But one of the really super cool things is you also, vis-a-vis your boss, get to go to things or learn about things in our local communities that you would otherwise maybe not ever know. And a lot of these things in our community, in my opinion, never get the press that they so richly deserve. And these are great things like the Worm Farm Institute and the Art de Tour. And or Tour de Art. Is it Art de Tour or Art de Tour?
It is Art de Tour.
Art de Tour. Thank you. It's a little play on words, right? Not Art Detour, but Art de Tour, because it sounds fancier. But you basically give you a map and you drive all around predominantly Sauk County. And sometimes it's just like a sculpture in a field. Sometimes it's something inside of a building. And what's happened over a number of years is that they bring in artisans from all over the world that are housed on farms and like a room and board. And in exchange for having this place to do their art, the artist, then they do a certain amount of work on the farm. Maybe that's doing, if it's like a vegetable producer, they'll help out watering or weeding things. If it's a dairy farm, they might help on feeding livestock. And so this is trade-off, and that they enrich the community, because oftentimes they'll do talks in the community at coffee shops or bars or community centers and talk about the art that they're doing. And it brings this cool international culture to a more rural community like Sauk County. And meanwhile, they're making beautiful things all year. And then in the fall, you get to drive around and see them. And I know there are things like this all over the state of Wisconsin. Maybe not to this degree that the Worm Farm Institute has done. But they're just wonderful stories to tell. If you have a suggestion, let's do that to close out the show. If you have a suggestion of places that you would like us to go, festivals or Wisconsin things you like to cover, or like us to cover, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Download it at your Apple or Android device now. Where would you like Todd to go? Well, there's a lot of people like to tell Todd where to go. But where do you think that we should take the show? What types of local festivals do you think that we should cover? Like the Worm Farm Institute in Sauk County, the Fermentation Fest, the Art de Tour. What are things in your community around the state that we should be aware of? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842.
You can also comment on the live stream. You can also text in on the app. And you can email info@civicmedia.us as long as you write somewhere in there that the message is for Todd and I.
Here's where I'd like to tell Todd and Aaron where to go in 2025. And you can't say off the air. I mean, you can.
Well, you can say it, but we'll ignore it.
Well, you know. But I know that so many people, and a lot of times you're like, well, yeah, I've lived here all my life in community X, so it's not that big of a deal to me. But then other people come in and it's like, holy cow, this is so cool. You have, what is it? Now I'm going to mess it up because I can't say the name of it. In Cambridge, the pottery festival, whatever that is. That's a super cool thing. Other places, you have the Hodag Festival up in Rhinelander. I've been to that.
I still really want to get someone on for Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc.
Yes, we absolutely should. A little slice. And of course, our own Terry Barr. Doing our slice of history, Wisconsin history. We should, you know what? I need to buy Terry a dinner. And we need to sit down and you know, because you can't go wrong with Terry Barr. She's a person of extraordinary talent and one of the kindest people you ever want to meet. And we could sit down and say, okay, Terry, maybe it's where should Terry and Todd go? TNT on the road.
She'd be good at that. She knows a lot of little places that make Wisconsin great because that's what she's been focused on for a lot of her career.
We'll do a triple T tour. Terry, Todd, and Trigvy on the road. What makes Wisconsin
the triple threat?
The triple. We'll do a thruple edition of what makes Wisconsin great. In a monogamous sense, of course. My goodness gracious.
Or platonic.
Or platonic. Yeah. That's it. That's the word I was looking for. All right. We're going to come back, wrap up the show. Don't go anywhere. On the Civic Media Radio Network, if you're a bull elk, this one goes out for you.
No, I won't do
that. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. A little CBS or ABC Radio News 40, depending upon which of our stations you're listening to. And then some weather with Brittany Merlot or whoever is on the weather desk. A little sports with Mike Clemens or Jimmy Cuska. And then it is into the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by Dominic Salvia from 4 until 6. At 6 o'clock, Pete Schwabba. Yeah, see, he's saying his name. He's saying on this promo that they put together, which is fantastic. He's talking to John Legend, the great John. What a get, by the way. It says, you're a guy whose last name is Legend, and you're actually a legend. I'm a Schwabba, and I'm actually a Schwabba. And Legend's like, what's a Schwabba? It's a Pete Schwabba.
It's like, well, I don't know. I'm a bit of a work in progress. I'll let you know when we get there. One thing that didn't make it into the promo because it was too long that was kind of funny is John Legend had a suggestion for what a Schwabba is. He was like, you know, a Schwabba is one of those syllables that, like, in a pronunciation guide that a weird vowel sound.
I like that. But anyway, Pete Schwabba and his great program, Nightlight, will be here from 6 until 8. Taking your suggestions about where we should go, what shows we should do in 2025, off the text line, listening up there at WBZH, the Buzz of the North in Hayward. Steve in Hayward says, you got to come up for the Fat Bike Berkey. Yes, I absolutely do. We were there for the Berkey last year, the big Birkenbeiner, and of course, not enough natural snow, so they had to shorten the Birkenbeiner race, the big cross-country ski race. They just did a track, and they did a fine job, but they had to make snow and bring snow in. But the fat bike Berkey is, you have those fat bike tire bikes, and they travel the same course through the woods or whatever on a bike. We should absolutely do that. Great suggestion, Steve. Appreciate that up there. I live for listening to us up in beautiful Hayward. Also, off the text line, Tom in Sauk County says, please do a show from Madison's Vilas Park Zoo so listeners can weigh in on which animals sound most like Todd Allball when he laughs. One of my fellow staffers at the Capitol once called me a caterwauling. Caterwauling. And I guess it's true. But a hyena? I don't know. But yeah, that'd be a good show. All right, some breaking news, but new news here we're going to pass along courtesy of CBS News. President-elect Donald Trump's criminal investigation lives on at least for another week, according to CBS News. A New York judge today deferred making an immediate decision on whether presidential immunity should have prevented jurors from seeing certain evidence at Trump's trial this spring. And if the verdict should even be tossed. Justice Juan Marchand said he will rule next week on whether a July Supreme Court ruling granting Trump presidential immunity from official acts precludes a jury from finding him guilty after a criminal trial this spring. Marchand did not directly address sentencing, which had been scheduled for November 26. A prosecutor for the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, called Marchand last part of me on Sunday night, saying Trump asked for a pause, quote, based on the impact on this proceeding for the result of the presidential election. Quote, the people agree that these are unprecedented circumstances, wrote the prosecutor, Matthew Cogliano. I'm not sure how to say it. If you say it fast, that's the key. Who added there is no need to balance of interest of, quote, a jury verdict of guilt following trial that has the presumption of regularity and the office of president. So the bottom line is here, Trump's probably going to get away with it. I mean, let's just cut to the chase.
Our legal system is clearly broken.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether I'm ready to paint with that. I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what the feeling is, the intent. I'm not quite sure whether I'm quite ready to say the entire legal system is broken.
Right. I just mean there are clearly major issues that need to be worked out.
And whether we like it or not, this is a unique situation. Never really been in this situation before. Guy's been justly elected president of the United States. Again, there's arguments to be made that 14th Amendment and all that, should he even have been eligible? The Supreme Court ruled that he was eligible to run for president. So now I guess legitimately there could be a case made in court that now that he's been elected, can he serve? My gut tells me, as Matt Flynn likes to say, with the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court, I'm not sure that that's going to change anything.
Or that they just wouldn't rule on it until 2029.
Right. We're just going to wait until after he's out of office or something like that. So, the Marchand ruling, Judge Juan Marchand ruling is deferred at least for another week. So we'll keep you up to date on that. I'm sure Maggie Dawn and Jim Santel, our two in-house civic media attorneys who know legal things much better than I, will comment on that moving forward. Maybe get our friend Matt Flynn back on there as well. So, and again, what's happening, this Trump trend, things are moving quickly, right? These appointments are coming down pretty quickly, and with a Republican Senate, and now even talk of what's called recess appointments, which kind of circumvents the natural hearings on appointments, talk that that may be circumvented, this stuff's going to move pretty quickly. House of Representatives, by the way, still, several of these elections are still so close, within a couple of thousand votes, that recounts are having to be done, this and that. But right now, it appears, if trends continue right now, it'll probably be the House of Representatives under Republican control by anywhere between 2 and 5 seats. Now, if Trump takes some of those people for appointments, that could get the majority for Republicans down to 1. Wouldn't that just be a hoot? As I say, tongue-in-cheek. Zalmer's, great job today. Thank you to Luke Mathers. I appreciate all of you for listening. We will see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, same batty host. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, Lisa Pritzel from Empowerment Dance joins us to give us some great news about her business.
And Katie Compton from Mulva Center for the Arts talks about their Museum for All program. Join us.
Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.